my first t-shirt I ever made is I painted a mural. I'm like, this might be a cool t-shirt. Called up a guy, can you print this on a shirt? When I unveiled the mural, I unveiled the shirt, and I sold 100 shirts off an Instagram post. I'm like, oh, okay, I think there could be something here. You know, so just test it out. Just test it out and start simple.
Perspective Podcast is fuel for your mind and creative grind. Each week, we break down the art of healthy hustling, overcoming the inner critic, and growing your creative business. What's going on? You're listening to episode 201 of the Perspective Podcast. I'm your host, Scotty Russell, the Perspective Collective, and I want to give you the tools of mindset, motivation, and marketing to blaze your own creative path on your own terms. At the end of each episode, I plug a listener of the week, so stick around to figure out how you can get a permanent shout out on a future episode. And I'm leading off with just a super quick announcement before we dive in. I'm getting this in front of you early, but the fourth round of the Side Hustlers Coaching Program, Spring 2021 edition, kicks off March 8th through June 6th. If you're even remotely interested in being a part of this next family of 12 badass creatives, I highly suggest jumping on the A-list waitlist ASAP. If you're on the waitlist, you're going to get a chance to apply a week early during the early bird launch, which takes place February 17th through the 23rd. So write those dates down. This is also going to lock you into the early bird reduced rate. So you get to save yourself some hard-earned cheddar to be a part of this. I'll open it up to the worldwide public enrollment the following week, February 24th through March 3rd. Then we're going to have our kickoff call on March 8th, and it's full steam ahead. Again, sign up at sidehustlerscoaching.com to join the A-list waitlist right now for first dibs on a spot. Let's move on to today's episode. With so much fear and hate in the world, it's easy to get sucked into the madness and let it dominate your life. Next thing you know, you start contributing to the problem instead of being a part of the solution of what you set out to be in the first place. It all boils down to a simple choice. You have the choice in how you show up each day with your work, your message, your impact, and your intention. Today's guest owns that choice and is obsessively focused on making an impact by injecting the message of love through his artwork. And he blew you away during his first appearance, so I had to bring him back for round two. So welcome back to the show, Ruben Rojas. He is a creative jock such as myself. He's a fine artist and a fine artist, if you know what I mean. He's a muralist and a master slanger of motivational merch, with big-time partnerships with the likes of BMW, Reebok, Taco Bell, Anheuser-Busch, and so much more. He's also the co-founder of the nonprofit Beautify Earth, which brings hope, empowerment, and community pride in areas that need an uplifting mural to set the tone. In today's episode, Ruben and I chat about how your brand needs to reflect the human behind it, navigating haters trying to tear you down, the advantages creatives like you and me have in sharing our message, living through love, not through the lens of fear, and how to get started selling your merch, along with so much more. And I can't forget, we're also going to talk about his latest book, Living Through Love, and I'll be giving away a copy to one lucky listener who simply just shares this episode. So listen for that in the outro. And if you're tired of playing it safe and you're ready to make an impact with your work, then you're going to dig this one today. Before we get started, I got to show some love over to Garm Company, to our sponsors. This is Graphic Artist Resource Merchant. That's what GARM stands for. And they're a boutique-style shop for designer tools, resources, and goods crafted with some of the most talented designers in the business. Their textures, brushes, fonts, and courses help you achieve that highly desired professional polish while saving you tons of time and not breaking your bank. We want to hook you up by visiting garmcompany.com/Scotty. That's Scotty with the Y, not Scotty with an IE like Scotty Pippen, Scotty with the Y. And using code PIZZA20. PIZZA20 to take 20% off your purchase. This even works on sale items. Also, huge shout out to you Patreon supporters who financially back the show, like my family at Iron Bean Coffee Company. With as little as your weekly cup of coffee, your support directly helps the show continue to grow, allowing me to invest in the podcast team, equipment, and hosting. To learn more about how you can back the show and the rewards for pledging, visit patreon.com/perspectivepodcast. We couldn't do what we do without you. Thank you. One final thing before we kick this off. If you found value in this episode, it would mean the world to me as well as Ruben if you just took a screenshot or a video of you working to this episode in the background and just make sure to tag me as well as Ruben Rojas, and that way I can reshare the love back. As always, keep an open mind and act on anything that inspires you today. Let's go. PC family, we have Ruben Rojas back on the show today. Welcome back to the Perspective Podcast, brother. How you been?
I've been amazing, you know, doing it here. Thank you so much for having me again.
It's been a trip to see all the cool shit you've been doing over the last, year since you've last been on. You were originally on, for those who haven't heard of you before, episode 139, August 14th of 2019. We have so much to catch up on, but before we do that, can we just give a brief Wikipedia page summary? If people want more, they can go back to episode 139 to really get like the incredible, inspiring backstory of the businessman climbing up the wrong ladder, his new pursuits now. So, yeah.
Since that episode, we are obviously full on art, creative, entrepreneur, and where we've expanded is, you know, clothing, books, jewelry, car collaborations, you name it. So it shows you what you have when you stick to a vision and follow through and keep pushing through it and doing what you love and living through love. And yeah, I suggest going back to listening to that last episode to really get the backstory of where I am today.
Also, we should mention you're about to be a dad. So we're speaking in the future right now. Tell us a little bit about this too.
Yeah, so I got a little boy coming, excited and terrified all at the same time. You know what's funny is like the woman is such an incredible, powerful being. I always say if it was up to men to procreate, we'd be extinct a long time ago. But it's fascinating, it's confusing, it's all the things. And to be a man and see your wife go through all this is just absolutely incredible and just shows you the power of the feminine. But at the same time, one of the things I'm really realizing is there's not a lot of stuff out there for dads. There just really isn't. Everything is geared toward the mom, whether it's podcast and information and merch and all these things. It's mom and baby. So I think there's a big gap there in what's available, what could be an opportunity for men and fathers.
I like that. Yeah, because I took classes. I did all the classes, all the Bradley stuff, so Emily could have like a natural birth. And like, yes, women are insane. Emily's the biggest badass I've known, naturally birthing two kids out. Like, women are badass. Still blows my mind, but shout out to your wifey. When is little man, when's the prince due?
He's due February 18th, so it's 5 days after my birthday.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's the due date, but sometimes it's 8 days later. Sometimes it's right on the date or early, so maybe an early congratulations to you now when this comes out. But regardless, let's talk about the big thing right now, your lifestyle brand. Talk about the evolution of that, Live Through Love, what it is, where it came from, where it originated, you know, picking back up the pieces from episode 139.
Yeah, so Live Through Love, that phrase is the simplest way to wrap everything up. You know, it started with that first mural that says, who will you be? And it's got all these ways of being, right? Grateful, leader, worthy, love, responsible, joy, happy, humble, right? These are ways of being. And it goes back to that same conversation. If you flip on the TV and it's just fear, you know, politics, COVID, racism, like everything about that is not showing you the good in humanity. And it's kind of terrible. And we're inundated
intentionally to create that divide and barrier. But if you speak on
exactly
that, you're a conspiracy theorist.
And don't forget cancel culture. That is real,
dude. It's scary in my community, man.
It gets tough. So Live Through Love has really just become the simplest version of doing that. Simple, like Nike, just do it, right? Live Through Love. It's about living through love, and it's a proactive way of being. It is not easy by all means. It is much easier to wake up afraid and depressed and, you know, victim-y and all these different ways. But it's about looking at the positive, being proactive, taking responsibility, not being a victim. And that doesn't mean that fear is not okay. It is okay. We're human. But the evolution was like, you know, a mural became many, many more murals, became artwork. And now it's become a lifestyle brand where you can wear it. You can wear it on your chest. You can wear it on your head. You can put on a pair of joggers. It's available in water bottles and a lot of stuff coming out down the pipeline. So it's really exciting, and it makes it more attainable, and it makes it more of a reminder for people. So the more it gets out there, the more bodies that start wearing it, the more people start seeing love, start living through love. And the thing that humbles me the most is when people wear it, tag me, and they talk about why they live through love. They talk about why they believe in this. You know, besides it, yeah, it's cool. It looks great. It's designed well. But it's not just some random merch. Like, it's something you're really falling into. It's something that you're really starting to generate a better lifestyle for yourself.
Especially in a world like today where it is fear, 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 fear. Like, I tell people all the time, like, stop watching TV for a little bit. Go focus on yourself, your self-care. Go make something. Go do something positive. Go make an impact on someone. Like, go challenge yourself. And what I love about it, there's also this stigma of toxic positivity, which I know you and I've gotten to know you. I've seen you speak. I've had you on the show. And then the other angle of manly men, like you and me, kind of jock creative kind of types and talking about love. And, you know, there's a lot of haters and trolls out there that just rather be pessimistic, naive, cynical assholes. I'd like to know kind of both of the angles. How do you navigate in between toxic positivity and those who just think of love as a buzzword and immediately are dismissive of it and, I guess, troll or stereotype or scrutinize someone? Because if you, I guarantee you've dealt with it, and I've dealt with this kind of stuff too, always.
Yeah, it's like, one way it is when someone meets me, they're like, oh, you really are what you're putting out there. I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's who I am. This is how we operate, my wife and I. It's not that fake bubbly positivity or optimism. It's coming from personal responsibility. I take personal responsibility for my actions to be positive, to lead and live from love, to move forward in that. It's not about like asking someone else to do it for me or consuming a ton of content thinking the more I consume, it's just going to miraculously happen to me, right? So that's one way of dealing with it. Another way, as I say, like, this isn't foo-foo. This is active. This isn't like bubblegum love. This is just a way of being. This is very active, very intentional, just like going into the gym and training, right? You're lifting some weights to get stronger, to get fitter, to be healthier. I'm not trying to use, you know, authenticity and emotional intelligence in a lot of those buzzwords, but just say, look, living through love is just literally catching yourself. Hey, did I come from this place or am I coming from this place? And trust me, I come from the other place a lot. Someone pisses me off for whatever reason, cuts me off. Like, there's many ways. It's just a matter of trying not to live in that path for too long, right?
It's a filter.
Shake it off, come back. Yeah, it's a filter. So, you know, I always say, I'll challenge you. I'll challenge you to try to live this way a few times, but it really stems to self-love. It really stems in like, what are we trying to fill these gaps and voids with superficial stuff? So if you really want to do the work, you're going to look at yourself.
I think a lot of people don't want to do the work because it makes them uncomfortable. And more specifically, the inner work, that's the uncomfortable work. Like, it's scary. The unknown is scary. Like, for me, I'll never want to go in the ocean, deep in the ocean. And I don't want to go to outer space. Too many unknowns. And going deep within yourself, that's like a super scary thing. Yes, emotional IQ, self-awareness, but that shit is super important in order to be able to even catch yourself in the first place. Most people don't have that trigger, that filter to be like, huh, this is where I'm operating from at the moment right now. No, I'm just going to rage out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So then how does your brand speak to that? So people want to be a part of it because it's something they can identify with?
Totally. I'm telling you, I'm building this movement. It's a lifestyle. It's much more. I say it's much more than a clothing line. It's much more than slapping some graphics on a tee and wearing it. This is my life. This is choosing to show up and live through love. Like, it's a choice. It's active. And yeah, when they start buying it, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure a lot of people just buy it because they like it and they think it's cool. And then they start learning more.
Or want to support you.
Exactly. But then they start learning about it. They learn about the ethos. They're like, oh, this is what I can do with this. This is what I can do with. And they just start learning more and more and getting engaged. So the initial thing is like, let me grab your attention. Then let me walk you through what this becomes and start you know, becoming part of the lifestyle and the brand.
I think that's the beauty of like artists, visual artists like us, who also are like businessmen, storytellers, fathers, is our work is the honey, you know, it's the honey. Let's attract the eyes. Let's attract someone to it. And then our message, our contents, our writing, the storytelling, that's like going to blast someone's heart open or radically shift the lens of which they see the world. So I think that's where we get an advantage, being creatives.
Yeah. Provide the honey to trigger the aha moment.
This wasn't the mission. This necessarily wasn't the vision when you got started off. Again, go back to the previous episode, but when it first started off, where were you? Just trying to find your voice, your style, coming from that business world to where you are now. And then where did you realize like, hey, I'm on to something here? And when did you catch that little glimpse of the spark of like, aha, this is what it is becoming? You know, what was that transformation like? Because people feel like they have to have it figured out all the way or right away. They don't give themselves permission to play, just experiment and find themselves through their work.
No, totally. That's very true. And I don't even know if I could still pinpoint the aha, that moment. Oh, this is where it clicked together. I have to catch myself, look back, acknowledge what's been done and where it's going, and try to keep it simple. But I'm still figuring it out. I'm still moving forward. I'm just trying to expand and move forward in as many options as possible. And what can I apply what I'm doing to and toward? So the simplest way was the aha moment kind of probably a year ago. I was like, okay, it's live through love. Because before I had a more long-winded definition of inspire you to view the world through the lens of love. And that's more under the EQ world, right? That's more in that kind of space, but live through love is simple. Like you see it, you hear it, you know what it means, right? It summarizes the whole thing. So that happened about a year ago, and now it's just moving it forward. I don't know where this is going to continue to go. Did I ever think I can apply my art to so many things and keep it authentic and keep it on brand and keep it with purpose? No, but you won't know until you do it.
Talk about the constraints within your work. You operate within constraints, and I deal with creative, especially I'm a creative side hustle coach. I'm helping people take their hobby to a profitable side hustle to scale it to a potential full-time business. And so many creatives are scared of constraints. And for you, you have so many constraints in terms of the content and the message, but yet maybe the variables is like color palettes or applications of where it's at. So talk about the strengths in your work and how that like breeds creativity or makes your job easier, helps it live up to the message and the positioning.
No, that's a great question there. Great topic.
Cause like when you started, were you just doing all sorts of things, like writing all sorts of words, whether it was painting a brush, graffiti, and then one day it just landed on love. And now you just make love over and over and over again. Like what was the thought process behind that? So, and where did you implement the constraints? Because this is a powerful thing people don't want to talk about.
No, totally. So if you look at my work, there's a couple of things. I have made the love. That single love is the Nike swoosh. I keep comparing to Nike because Nike's a company I look up to. Their creative's insane. Their marketing's insane. Just everything about it. And like, if I want to go down that path, I'm going to start looking at these other companies doing amazing work over time and how can I grow and aspire in keeping true to my ethos. So that love in my head, how do I make it Nike? The swoosh, to be specific, or the Louis Vuitton logo or things like that.
McDonald's. Ah.
Exactly. You know, Coca-Cola. So I started realizing that my overall message has always been the same. It's been grounded in love. Whether I paint the word gratitude or spread your wings or do what you love, or you belong here, these messages always come from that foundation of live through love.
It's a branch of the overarching umbrella.
Exactly. But colors grab people's attention. Colors make us feel good. They give us feelings. They give us memory. So I always use a lot of bright, bright, bright colors, especially on the big, large scale murals. And the scripted love, I didn't actually go around painting a ton of love murals. That I kept until recently. I would pepper in some love work, but mostly you saw it in canvases like the pieces behind me. That's what I kept that to. I kept that more to the quote unquote contemporary art or fine art. Then I started incorporating it into more murals by either painting in an oak with my script to start tying it in together. So that's how I started cross pollinating that. Then I said, oh, you know what? I'm going to start putting up some of my poetry, but just putting up the poetry is kind of plain. It's not 100% on brand. So I would paint the love wall, put the poetry inside a quote box, and then put the poem. So now that pollinated that and made it on brand again. So you started seeing that everything started being connected. And then the love was the script that always kind of put everything all together. And as far as, I mean, I can apply it to everything. I mean, you've seen the American flag piece I did. Like, what America needs right now is more love. We need to stop worrying about whether you're red or blue. We're all these things. So that was something that
even a Kobe piece. Yeah, you know?
It's his silhouette. It's not his realness or his likeness, but I applied my love to that, and like, you know who it is and what it is. But that's also because his ethos was that, you know, and where his come from was. And that's why he inspires me so much. And then it's just colors, putting it into different colors. You know, I do a lot of black and white work too, but it all depends on what I'm doing. And it's applicable to everything. I mean, the BMW, we put love all over a BMW. The car looks amazing. We have some long-term plans down the line with working with such a large company. It takes a long time to do, but you know, maybe one day you'll see the Ruben Love Edition BMW available in 2022 or something. So you never know. So are there really constraints? That's the question.
I would say constraints breed creativity. When you have constraints, the whole world of options open up where you can just think and process things more clearly, more clarity, more confidence, more conviction with what you do. And why I'm bringing this up is because I want to have a teaching moment here for other creatives listening and be like, man, but he can do it because it works for him, but I want to be all over the place, which then makes them consistently inconsistent. But the power of constraints that I see within you is it builds brand awareness, brand ethos, and cohesiveness with everything, and also like provides the world is now your oyster. And I think that's the power of it. You're living through a constraint right now, which it's like having people niche down or convincing people to niche down when they're not seeing results, as well as baking in constraints within their brand, are probably like the two top resistances I get. And you've just embraced and owned all of them.
So like a brand guideline. Yeah, that makes
sense. Brand identity guidelines is basically what you've created for yourself. Is what I want to provide. Like every big ass business, Nike, whoever, has a brand identity guideline. Why shouldn't you in your personal brand, or any creative who's building a personal brand?
And consistency.
Mm-hmm. Inconsistency. Mm-hmm. So how do you deal with like a hater then of what you're doing? What's like, you don't have to name anyone specific, but what's like the most negative thing that you've gotten? You've gotten tons of positives. I've gotten tons of positive support, encouragement, but you always get like that one asshole who just needs some love. But like, what has someone said to you? How has it made you feel? And then how did you go through your filter to respond or not respond or create something from it?
There's a lot of truth in there, and there's a lot of way that I answer it. I never deflect anything, but I also, to be honest, I know there's a lot of people with that energy out there, but I don't think a lot of them have the courage to just throw it in my face directly. The negative stuff has been mostly due to fear. It wasn't anything about my art or anything. Like, I've had people call me liberal leftist, yada, yada, yada. I'm nothing. I'm nowhere near that.
You have a background in being a capitalistic mindset businessman.
Yeah. So it's like someone replied to my newsletter one time that's like, you liberal, you this, you that, because I had masks and because I was supporting Black lives. Not specific to like a group or something, but I was supporting the movement. And there's a multiple reasons why that I don't even need to explain. But there's also the notion of I saw all these things happening, but it was all being led by fear. And if I could interject love in some way, that's what I really wanted to push forward. Like, hey, guys, let's speak up for each other. Let's stand up for each other. But let's come from this position of love to do so and hear our indifferences and listen to each other. And you don't have to agree. right? Why is it that anyone that voted for Trump is automatically a racist? Why can't two people just have a conversation and be like, okay, cool, I still love you? Or Biden and vice versa. Like, why is politics so dividing? So that was a comment, and I just replied to, I forgot how I replied to him. But he clearly just needed love and didn't understand where I was coming from. I don't need to explain myself because it wasn't for him. He didn't unsubscribe. He still subscribes. So, you know, I've had other people comment on a face mask photo and saying, I am not a sheep, you keep pushing your da-da-da. And I'm like, I don't need to reply. And I'm like, thank you for your concern. Appreciate your comment and your attention. But I'm also thinking, and you could go this way. So I guess I reply by not replying. Because in my head, I'm like, dude, the people that constantly say they're not sheeps maybe are actually fill in the blank.
Sheep of the opposing view.
Yeah. Because let's just say the opposite of sheep is wolf. No one's out there saying, I'm a wolf, pounding their chest. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like, it's just this consistent thing of you trying to say what you're not, because you can't own who you are. Or I don't know if that makes sense, but I kind of just acknowledge people. I'm like, thank you. I know you need a little bit of love, you know, some hug. Here you go.
Man, I wish I could have heard you say that maybe like 5 years ago when I took that shit way too seriously and would just get triggered.
Yeah. The triggers I do get the most right now, and sometimes my wife has to take me down off the ledge, is I cannot control UPS, USPS, FedEx. Like, I just can't do it. And sometimes someone will just send an email and I'm like, why did it have to come from that space? And I'm sure you've got some stuff going on, but I'm like, don't you realize you're buying something that says love? And like the message you sent out. And what I've done in some of those instances when they really, really rub me the wrong way, I just tell them, hey, I'm sorry you're having issues with delivery. You know, third party is not in our control. We'll open up a case. But I'm going to refund you right now. And you do not fall into the lifestyle of the brand that I'm building.
Ooh.
And that's how I end it. And I send them some love and that's it. So they get the package. I know they end up getting it, but I'm like, you don't live through love.
I don't want your money.
And it's not coming from ego. It's coming from like, let's move this thing forward together. So there's been that, but it really comes down to like, I am not Amazon. Right. And I know it's not just me. There's tons of small businesses dealing with this. Like Amazon, as great as they are, they've kind of put a little bit of a huge speed bump in like, why don't I have my thing tomorrow?
Unrealistic expectations for small businesses.
And I'm fulfilling next day. Like I'm doing the fastest I can possibly do. It's my wife and
I.
Do
you do print on demand or you literally sit on stock of everything?
I have inventory. No, this is all legit. This is 10 screen prints. This is not like crappy DTG. This is not print on demand.
Not a cheap print or cheap garments. Like I've been in the screen printing world, man. A 10 color print. My goodness.
Yeah. So a lot of screen printing and a lot of the simple one, single love, single screen print, but like inner branding, bagging, tagging, the whole thing. So yeah, I have a whole nother studio like this now that's just full of all the merch, boxes and shelves as it keeps growing, like cut and sew leggings. This stuff isn't cheap and I make it here. So like they're cutting and sewing downtown LA.
Not overseas somewhere.
These gold pieces are literally handmade here downtown. The tie dye is downtown. So like it costs way more to make too. So.
Which is, you're a premium brand. You're not a discounted brand trying to compete with the sales rack at JCPenney's or something like that. How do you manage to balance all of this between the lifestyle brand, the gear, the merch, custom commissions, murals, as well as like being home and present for wifey?
Well, I make sure I go home every night. so that gets us there. And we're obviously in contact.
If you're like me, you lose track of time because your work is
play. Yeah, no, exactly. That happens a lot too. But honestly, I don't say I'm regimented, but I get up in the morning, do my thing with my dog, take him out, give him food, and then go to the gym. That's my non-negotiable. Come home, and then my day is kind of all over the place. Whether I'm speaking to you or numerous other people, whether it's a merch day, a paint day, a mural day, or whatever's happening. Luckily, and not luckily, I mean, this is the first year I haven't traveled. Like, my wife and I travel a lot, but obviously there's a pandemic. But that also has reduced the travel for murals and that, so I can focus on other things. So it's going to get tricky when my son comes. Obviously, that's going to change. But I think it's because it's all under one umbrella. It's all part of the same thing. There's different verticals within the business. And as long as I look at it like that, I'm triaging. Like, I'm not handling everything every day. But, you know, I still have my nonprofit and my tech platform startup, too, that gets all peppered in. So it's kind of all the same world, though. It's not like I'm still doing insurance and retirement services and then trying to paint like I did the first few years, which that now you can't. That's just not possible.
So in a sense, how it is for me too, you can have a lot of things on your plate, but certain seasons, certain things get more priority based on life circumstances, pandemic, or whatever is the hot ticket item that'll move the needle forward in your business. So I think a lot of people feel like you have to do all the things all the time. Like, you could still have a lot of different channels to your business, but one channel just may be like an open highway this time, and the other ones become like one way and more maintenance mode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the river with the tributaries.
Okay. That's better than the roads and the highways. let's talk about the evolution then. I think this just naturally takes us to the book, which I caught wind of a couple weeks ago. I'm like, yep, it's time. I've been talking to you on the side, like, dude, I got to get you back on somehow. Then I saw you post that. I'm like, yep, this is it. So I want to know, especially about the book coming up, some details about it, the thought and the evolution, the process behind making it. And yeah, give us the goods, man.
Yeah. So the book's called Live Through Love.
And for those who know too, Ruben doesn't like promoting himself. And that's why I'm here. So I push these things out of him.
Yeah. Thank you, Scotty. So I've been writing poetry for a long time. You know, when I met my wife, now wife, when I met her back then, I would share some of this poetry with her, and she would buy R.M. Drake and these other poets books. He's like, look, I buy these things all the time, like, start putting it out there. And a long time ago, I created an alter ego. I wrote under the pseudonym Ruben Ben. And I created an Instagram account, and it went up to like 7,000 followers pretty quickly. But it's really hard to juggle art, everything I was doing, and then poetry, and then the aesthetic of the poetry, because it was an outlier way out there. You wouldn't know that was me because it didn't match the art as far as color. It was just the white and black text. So years later, I've been starting to add, this year I added a lot of poetry to some of these murals. And what I did was write this whole journal. But the purpose of this book, it's a hardcover book. It's really nice. It's soft touch. It's like two-tone on the front, so the love is glossy. You guys will be able to see it later, obviously. But obviously, it's all on brand as far as what we got going on in here.
It's Iowa Hawkeye colors, too, so I'm immediately attracted to it.
And then it's just my poetry in different forms and writings. And then there's blank pages in here for you to actually digest it, write in it, tell me your thoughts. There's exercises, like write yourself a love letter. So one of the poems in here, it's only as perfect as the work you're willing to put into it. And that's it. It's simple. Just let that sink in. On the other page, it says, what are you willing to put work into? And then you can start filling in and start writing that down. So it's a lot of that. But it's literally a journal of self-love. The way you start this book and the intention of how you end it is that you find yourself and you fall in love with yourself.
The inner work.
But in very simple, it's inner work, but through graphic design, through art, through poetry. But it's not heady. It's not like some of these huge, it's not a self-help book at all. If anything, most people I don't think are going to write in it, or they'll get two copies, one that they could write in and one that can sit there. And I see this like living in a lot of different places all around. And the kicker is, did you see what the Pantone color of the year was just announced?
Yellow.
Exactly.
PMS 120.
So yellow and cool gray, but like the book's yellow.
Did you intentionally do that?
I intentionally made it yellow. I did not know.
Okay. I didn't know if you like saw that, got wind. You're like, yep, this book is coming from here.
They just announced that. This has been in print for a while now. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is my only copy. The rest are on their way in still.
Did you hire a designer then to do the quotes on the inside? Someone you know?
Yeah. So my publisher has a designer she always works with. And we spent hours on the phone together. This is version 7 of the book. So we went through a lot of fonts, a lot of text, a lot. It was originally going to just be black and white. The inside has some art. It explains the ethos of my self-portrait. So you get a glimpse of like where this all comes from and how it ties together. But it's now like it uses the font I use in most of my work. It's got my loves in it and things like that. So with another designer's help, because that's not my forte. I'm not an InDesign guy. I didn't, you know, I'm a draw it on paper type of.
Yeah, I don't envision you sitting there on a computer laying out spreads and everything. But another tip for constraints, you just said, you have one font that you navigate through within your brand. Another yes. one out there. So
I do.
Where can people go and get this? Because when we originally talked, it was pre-order time. Where can people, if they're vibing to what you say today, vibing to your previous episode, want to get to know you more, want to be a part of this movement, as well as support you through this book, where can they go and get it? Where can I go and get it?
You can go and get it at RubenRojas.com. So everything's available on my website. Also, LiveThroughLove.com leads you to that as well. It'll come with some fun things. I got those acrylic blocks, bookmarks, some note cards. So the first 200 are going to be signed. No limit on how many you can get. I'd love to sell them out and get them out there to the world and go with edition 2 and 3 and 4.
So for those, because I come from an interactive digital good products world too, as well as tangible, but do you ever think about making like an ebook version where people can also get that so they're not so scared to like fill out the answers in the book?
So I do have it ready to go as that. It's just a matter of formatting it a little bit different. So yeah, it's a matter of dropping it.
Perfect. Perfect. So I know a lot of people are going to want that ebook version as well. So what's your goals then for the next versions? Where do you foresee round 2 coming? What kind of ideas you got brewing? That way, the next time when you're on the show, you'd be like, voila, I manifested these things. You know, I put it out there right here.
You know, there could be different colors, right? Different editions, different colors. Maybe next year I do it in some blue color or whatever the case is. I have a lot more poetry that I have never shared yet. And I could always get to writing more. But I really think that the next book is actually going to be like the manifesto. Really diving into the story. Like it'll be like, how did I get here type book. It'll be that book.
Like an autobiography kind of thing?
Yeah, something like that. And write it together. It'll probably be obviously called Live Through Love also, but it wouldn't be the poetry book. And then another one that I've been wanting to play with is, you know, like those Phaidon books or those Tashin books, like, but of my murals around the world and all the things that I've done and just creative process. So more of a very nice graphic book of, and it's kind of funny because if you look at the stuff back 4 or 5 years ago, the quality of photo then to now to this, so that'll also show you like the evolution. I think it's kind of cool. Same with video. I have years of video now. So who knows where all this will go? There'll be a documentary one day. We'll see. I'm nowhere near that level. At least not in my eyes.
At least you got the targets. At least. So speaking of, is poetry something you plan on working back into the groove or a creative exercise or a process during these pandemics when you can't travel? Or
yeah, so a lot of my poems just kind of hit me. I like to, some of them are actually spoken words that I haven't performed, like I can just get up there, But I'll be driving and I'll hear a beat I like on a song and then I'll just start riffing stuff.
You freestyler?
Yeah, and I'm freestyling it and just riffing it. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh. So then I'll stop and like start writing it down real quick. So, you know, I have a few people that'll perform it, but like I'm working on the Live Through Love anthem song. Like, so we'll see. Maybe that'll come out one day.
I've heard of a guy named NQ that's really good at this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You just sparked another one too. Let's consider this kind of rapid fire right now. How do you collect your ideas? Because if you're like me, they hit you all over the time. Yeah, you stop and write it down wherever, but are you using iCloud? Are you using notes? Are you using Notion, Evernote? Where do you collect your ideas? And how do you organize them?
Organization is out the window. There is no organization. It is by memory and notes on my phone. So I'll hit the notes app, put it all down, and I forget a lot of the things. And I intentionally do that because not all of it is good. But I'm still going through notes. Something will hit me and then I'll just search it. And I'm like, whoa, I wrote that down 3 years ago. I'm finally getting to it.
Time to make it happen.
So there's stuff like that, that it was either an idea, it wasn't time to execute, or now is the right time to execute, things like that. Whether it's an art piece or a canvas or some unfinished poetry, words that I'll just spew out and write down. Or ideas for sure. I mean, I have like 47 t-shirts ready to go. I just don't know when I'll ever drop them because I'm not going to just drop 47 tees all at once.
For sure. Also, if someone's looking to like get started in the world of merch and to create their own lifestyle brand potentially, like how should they start? Where should they start? And what were some of like the biggest hurdles? Like what are like 1 to 3 hurdles that you went through that you were like, damn, okay, this takes a lot more work than I was expecting to get on like a Nike level. A lot of people just think it's going to be easy and I'm going to make something and people are going to buy my shit. And like, I did a clothing brand for 4 years. It's fucking difficult, you know? And then it led me to Perspective Collective. But for you, you know, how's that experience been?
So the how is just do it. Honestly, there's a point where you're going to get stuck overthinking and getting to a point where you just don't do anything. So get your favorite piece of art, put it on a shirt, a hoodie, or whatever it is that you want to put it out on. And don't really worry so much about what that blank is at first. If you're comfortable wearing it, awesome, do that. And get it out there. You got to see if someone's going to buy it. Because if you're going to build out this whole line and it's exquisite, and you've got decks and line sheets and all the things and a lookbook and not a single piece sells, there was no purpose in doing it. So like my first t-shirt I ever made is I painted a mural. I'm like, this might be a cool t-shirt. Called up a guy, can you print this on a shirt? When I unveiled the mural, I unveiled the shirt and I sold 100 shirts off an Instagram post. I'm like, oh, okay. I think there could be something here, you know? So just test it out. That's it. Just test it out and start simple.
Start small.
And then the obstacles, honestly, I've never worked in retail. I don't know anything about retail. I've always loved fashion and shoe design and all those things. So I have a little bit of knowledge, but at one point this guy's like, yeah, can you send over your tech pack? I'm like, what is a tech pack? I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, here's my design and I want it on this. Yeah. But like, can you put it on tech pack? So your tech pack is like your silhouette with the measurements, where the art goes, like all laid out. It's like this whole thing. And it could get as complicated as depending how the piece is, right? On a t-shirt, kind of simple. But if you're cutting and sewing leggings, like I'm doing, oh, it's the type of stitch. Where the labels are going? Where's the inseams are going? How the hems are lining up? Like, you name it. It's like every little thing is there. 1/4 here, 1/8 there, this double stitching finish. I'm just like, I still don't know a lot of it, but figuring it out. So the obstacle is really learning the game. But the only way I like to learn is by doing it. I could sit and read books all day. I can go enroll in fashion classes if I wanted to, or I could just do it. Obstacle 2 is no one operates on your timeline. It literally takes way longer than you think. You're like, oh, here's my idea. I want 300 shirts tomorrow. Yeah, that'll be like 4 weeks. I'm like, why though? Why 4 weeks? Obviously, I'm not their only customer and you wouldn't be their only customer, but it's kind of just been the nature of the beast, which hopefully I get to, I'm going to try to change that. But for the most part, if you're doing quality and you're working with a good factory, they're all busy. They're all doing things and it just takes time. And then lastly is, you know, again, keep it simple. Do one or two things. Do it well.
You recommend actually getting like sitting on stock of like 20 shirts to start off with, or getting a minimum run, or doing print on demand to get started? What would you do?
What would I do is, you know what I do. And I'll tell you, I hold inventory.
Knowing how easily and accessible things are today in this modern era of 2021 that we're living in.
So obstacle three, I'm going to say is, I'm a control freak, and I don't mean a control freak in a bad way, but like I am an operator that has my hands on everything. I don't have to do everything. But at first I started with a fulfillment center and I was starting to get emails. Where's my package? Where's my package? Then I answer the customer. Then I've got to go to the fulfillment center and chase them down. So that was adding steps for me. And I'm like, I can't do this. This is taking up too much of my brand bandwidth and brain power. And I'm literally focused on this, so I can't do anything else. So I chose.
And you lose the brand experience.
Exactly.
Control.
And so I decided, you know, I'm going to fulfill it all myself. Also, it's cheaper. It costs money to have someone fulfill. They were taking like 10 to 15%. I'm like, whoa, I didn't even know it was that expensive. I'm like, I'm not making anything. That's a hit to the margin. But I was traveling at the time. It worked for what I needed and I didn't know any better. But fulfilling in-house allowed me to directly be able to tell up to the minute responses and truthful and authentic to my customer instead of chasing something down. Let me get back to you and having who knows how many days in delay, because that customer buys a t-shirt. You want them to buy more down the line. You don't want it to be a bad experience for them. So that's that obstacle. I would say I personally would recommend having stock and inventory for that reason, but that's cash flow. So that's another obstacle. Do you have the cash flow to hold $20,000, $30,000 worth of inventory? And is it moving?
In the audience without knowing if there's demand.
Exactly. So you can go on a Printful, right? You could go on a Teespring. They take a cut, you get a cut. But you know, if you sell 1,000 shirts that way, then you have something. Go do something. If you don't sell anything, you didn't lose anything, but you at least satisfied the urge of what if. Like, I always think you should give everything a shot.
Hell yeah. So to summarize, start small. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Be cautious if you go the route on print on demand, which is less risk, but less control versus sitting on stock due to cash flow. So start small, take action, don't overconsume, and just get in the streets. Just make it happen.
Like quality over quantity. Let's add that one in there too.
Well, I appreciate you coming on today. One more question. Where can people go to follow you online and support you? I know you kind of dropped it once, but this allows me to just like intentionally do it as well as include it in the show notes.
Yeah. So everything is at Ruben Rojas, RubenRojas, RubenRojas.com, Twitter, also Facebook. I do have a second Instagram account, which is at livethrough.love, which is the brand account. But that's it. Just my name. You can Google me. And that you message me, DM me, I reply. Sometimes it takes a while, but I reply and I appreciate anyone's comments and feedback and just saying hello.
Word, man. I am super grateful for your time. Thanks for making time to come back for round two. I'm stoked for round three and to see what kind of cool, crazy shit you're doing then as a dad. You know, so congratulations to you, man. I'm so stoked for you guys. You're going to be an incredible father.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, brother. We'll be in touch. Peace.
Later, man.
PC family, I hope you enjoyed this little chit chat with my homie Ruben Rojas. Do what you do best. If you found value in what he had to say today, go blow him up right now on Instagram and share with him your biggest takeaway. Also, to make it easy, if you want to win a copy of his latest book, Live Through Love, simply just take a screenshot or a video of you listening or working to this on your work in the background. That's all you got to do. that puts you in for the running to win this a random drawing of a book winner. So I will announce the winner next Tuesday before next week's Wednesday's episode of 202. And if you'd like, you can find the full episode information containing all the links and references in the show notes within your current podcast listening app, especially if you want to go get a link to his book or get a link to his Instagram and everything else. So thank you, Ruben. We appreciate you. Love you, brother. And if the show has helped you anywhere along your creative grind, could you just do me a solid and leave me a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, as well as something like CastBox or anywhere else that allows you to leave a review? Do that too, because I can now see it. But not only does this help the show climb the charts in the arts design category, but it staples you in as a future listener of the week. And today's listener of the week is titled Scotty Seems to Generally Want to Help. And this is from Callie Rally from the US. They state, his passion shows in the podcast. I'm not a huge fan of the hustle and grind culture, but I still find myself frequently tuning into this show. The podcast is inspiring because it goes deeper than just systems and practices. It also urges you to reflect on your why, connect with, and express the self. And it also shares stories the listeners connect with and apply to his or her own journey. I find that it has more heart than a lot of other podcasts in the art and business space and would highly recommend. Thank you, Callie. This is not your typical hustle and grind culture show. Work, no sleep. I've done that life. It's not for me. This is exactly what the show is all about, is creative fuel for your mind and grind. All right. It's your mind first. The internal work will lead to the external results, and it's about doing things in a healthy way to get what you want. So as I sign off, I want to give a huge shout out to my podcast editor, Anya Brennan, executive assistant Paige Garland, video specialist Colton Bacher, social media coordinator Hannah Schick, and Nick Jenkins of Bluka for all the dope theme music you hear on this show. And as you finish off your week strong, I want to encourage you to keep showing up, keep putting in the work, and keep creating. You got this.